The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January 25 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to go to Who's Who in Sports, and the second section featuring Lauren Betts, UCLA Bruins center. Her height is 6'7". She was born October 15, 2003, hometown Centennial, Colorado. In her first season at UCLA, Betts, who transferred from Stanford, led the Bruins in scoring 14.9 points per game and rebounding 9.3 rebounds per game as the Bruins finished with a record of 27-7. She had 13 double-doubles, including a 14.17 rebound outing against LSU in the NCAA tournament last March. Did you know, though, Betts' mom, Michelle, played volleyball at Long Beach State, where she helped lead the 49ers to the 1993 NCAA championship. Next, we have Sam Darnold, Minnesota Vikings quarterback. His height is 6'3". His weight is 225 pounds. He was born June 5, 1997, hometown Capistrano Beach, California. Originally viewed as a stopgap in Minnesota until rookie J.J. McCarthy was ready to play, Darnold led the Vikings to a 5-2 start this year. He threw for 1,610 yards with 14 touchdowns. One of those TDs was a 97-yarder to Justin Jefferson, which was the second longest play in team history. Did you know? The longest pass play in NFL history is 99 yards, which has been accomplished 13 times, most recently by the Giants in 2011. And finally, Lando Norris, McLaren. His height is 5'10", his weight is 150 pounds. He was born November 13, 1999, in his hometown, Bristol, England. Thanks largely to Norris, McLaren took a sizable lead in the Formula One Constructors' Championship, leading the heavily favored Red Bull and Ferrari with four races left in the season. Norris won the first race of his F1 career in Miami and added two more victories later in the season, putting him in second place in the driver's standings. Did you know, though, McLaren has won 188 races in its history? Only Ferrari, with 248, has more victories. Next, we'll continue with, what if it was up to you to navigate the Shaq Kobe Lakers dynasty while trying to avoid this outcome? We're going to begin on page 21. What if, E, no deals? Let's face it, Kobe is not getting any older or any younger. He's in his mid-30s, but he's still one of the game's most unstoppable scorers. You decide that bringing more big names on board would only recreate the personality clashes that existed when Shaq was in town. So the team's philosophy becomes clear. Let Kobe go for a sixth title as the unquestioned star of the show. The Black Mamba doesn't let you down. With fellow aging future Hall of Famer Pau Gasol by his side, Bryant wills the Lakers to 51 games in 2012 and 13. Los Angeles then beats the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Grizzlies in the playoffs, setting up a showdown with the Heat in the finals. Miami has a big three of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. But Kobe has years of finals experience. The Lakers win a sixth and final title for you and Kobe. Now that Bryant has many titles as Jordan, you can argue that he's the best ever. which you find yourself doing mentally before you suddenly wake up back on your couch, a kid again, but a very proud one. Your adventure is over. What if F overhauled the team? You made the deals necessary to bring Howard and Nash on board. People in L.A. and all over the NBA universe are excited. Sports Illustrated puts the two newcomers on the cover of its basketball preview issue with the headlines, "Now this is going to be fun." Spoiler alert, it isn't. Nash, who is now 38 years old, is in impressive shape, but he's still a step slower. Howard, meanwhile, seems less than focused. After spending the preseason living in a hotel where he spent his days building Lego sets, watching cartoons, and eating cupcakes, he struggles to adapt to life in the NBA. The team wins a meager 45 games and gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs. You hear through the grapevine that the NBA editor at Sports Illustrated, after being mocked and ridiculed for the cover, has been demoted. Then you suddenly open your eyes and find yourself back on your couch. "It was all a dream," you tell yourself. Then you look at your dad's bookshelf and see a dog-eared copy of Sports Illustrated. Staring back at you from the cover are Steve Nash and Dwight Howard with the headline, "Now this is going to be a fun." A dream, right? Or was it? Your adventure is over. On fire. Dodgers slugger Shohei Ohtani gave us the greatest baseball performance ever. What are the other best outings? Oh my, Ohtani! Plus 10 RBIs, and he wasn't even pitching. Plus 3 home runs, plus 2 stolen bases. September 19, 2024. As the 2024 season wound down, Dodgers slugger Shohei Ohtani was closing in on becoming the first player in Major League history to hit 50 homers and steal 50 bases in the same season. With 10 games left, Ohtani was sitting on 48 homers and 49 steals. He seemed like a good bet to make it, but nothing is certain in baseball. Except, as it turned out, Ohtani doing amazing things. He got to 50 stolen bases by doubling and swiping third base in the first inning against the Marlins. He followed that up with homers in the sixth and seventh to get to 50, then added another in the ninth for good measure. And those came after he had singled and doubled twice. So the final tally with all eyes on him, 6 hits and 6 trips to the plate with 3 homers and 17 total bases. His teammate Gavin Lux summed it up, "That has to be the greatest baseball game of all time. I've never seen anybody do that, even in Little League." Lloyd leaps ahead. 2015 World Cup Final. There's no bigger stage in soccer than a World Cup Final. Prior to 2015, no player had ever scored 3 goals in a game that decided the women's tournament. Carly Lloyd of the United States changed that, and she did it pretty quickly. She scored against Japan in the 3rd minute and then added another 2 minutes later. She completed her hat trick in the 16th minute, the fastest in World Cup history, with an audacious goal scored from the halfway line, icing the game for the United States, which won 5-2. And that was July 5th, 2015. July 22nd, 2006, one-man show. Los Angeles Lakers versus Toronto Raptors. Sure, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game in 1962, a nice round number that has never been equaled. But he did it at a time when defense was virtually non-existent. In the 1961-62 season, teams averaged 118 points per game. Wilt's 100 came in a 169-147 win. In 2005-2006, on the other hand, teams were scoring 97 points per game. That makes Kobe Bryant's 81-point outburst against the Raptors in a 122-104 win even more impressive. Wilt scored 31.6% of the total points in his game. Kobe, meanwhile, scored 35.8 points, which was 35.8%. January 2nd, 2001. Nice shot. Montreal Canadiens versus the New York Islanders. A goalie's job is to keep the puck out of his team's net. Montreal's Jose Theodore did just that, stopping all 32 shots he faced. A goalie's job is not to shoot the puck into the opponent's net. Theodore did that anyway. After the Islanders pulled their goaltender for an extra attacker in the last seconds of the game, Theodore launched the puck the length of the ice and into the net, giving Montreal a 3-0 lead. I wasn't trying to score, he said. I was just trying to flip the puck out of our zone. Nonetheless, he became just the fifth goalie to score on a direct shot in an NHL game. And these are called GOAT games, greatest of all time. November 14, 1943, triple duty, Washington versus Detroit Lions. As groundbreaking as he is, Shohei Ohtani was not the sports world's first two-way superstar. Back in 1943, when many football players competed on both sides of the ball, Washington's Sammy Baugh had a day that will likely never be replicated. In a 42-20 win over the Lions, he threw four touchdown passes on offense and intercepted four more on defense. He also showed he was a three-way star when he booted an 81-yard punt on special teams. Not a bad day for the Hall of Famer, who led the NFL that season in completions, interceptions, and punting average. June 22, 1986. He's a handful. Argentina versus England. England and Argentina have long been a fierce soccer rivalry, which became even more intense after the countries went to war in 1982. 4 years later, they met in the World Cup finals, and Diego Maradona put on a masterclass. The Argentina midfielder scored both goals in a 2-1 win. The first came after his hand hit the ball. The controversial goal was dubbed the Hand of God. The second came at the end of a dynamic run through the England defense, a score that was later voted FIFA's goal of the century. Argentina would go on to win the cup against West Germany. January 20th, 1968. The Big E, Houston versus UCLA. In January 1968, UCLA didn't just seem unbeatable, the Bruins were unbeatable. They entered their showdown with Houston riding a 47-game winning streak that was almost 2 years old. But Cougars center Elvin Hayes scored 39 points, including the go-ahead free throws with 28 seconds left, despite playing most of the second half in danger of fouling out, to lead the number two Cougars to a 71-69 win. The contest became known as the Game of the Century, meaning Hayes put up a performance for all time. September 5th, 2023. Well-rounded, Connecticut Sun versus Los Angeles Sparks. There have been 42 triple-doubles in WNBA history, and Alisa Thomas has 15 of them. Arguably, the best of that list came against Los Angeles when the Sun forward had 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 12 assists. What's more, Thomas shot 78.6% from the floor, the best percentage for a player in a triple-double with more than 5 field goal attempts. She also had 6 steals. No other player had ever had more than 4 steals in a triple-double. Thomas did, however, miss 2 of her 7 free throws. Attempts. Oh, well, no one's perfect. Moving on to Fast Facts. First, we have Connor Bedard. The top pick in the 2023 NHL draft, Bedard made his debut last October at the age of 18. He had an assist in his first game and added his first goal the next night. Despite missing 6 weeks with a broken jaw, he tallied 22 goals and 61 points, leading all first-year players. Bedard was awarded the Calder Memorial Trophy as the league's top rookie. And next we have quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. Through the first 8 games of the season, Allen threw 14 touchdown passes with just one interception as Buffalo started 6-2. Last season, he had his third top 5 MVP finals in the last 4 years as he threw for 4,306 yards and 29 TDs. Allen was taken with the 7th pick of the 2018 draft and has led the Bills to at least 10 wins 5 times. Good job, Josh. Beginning on page 34, the new ice age. It's number 19. That's how old Connor Bernard is, and the Blackhawks phenom is at the forefront of a youthful revolution taking hold in sports. Connor Bernard had quite an impressive rookie season. After making his NHL debut for the Chicago Blackhawks last October at the age of 18, the center went on to score 22 goals and register 39 assists. Both of those marks led all NHL rookies, and he accomplished them despite missing 14 games with a broken jaw. So he certainly had to be impressed with how quickly and proficiently he adapted to the world's most elite hockey league, right? Not really. I always have high expectations for myself, he says, so I'm never really surprised with what happens. Actually, Bedard's performance in 2024 shouldn't have come as too big of a shock. The year was filled with incredible showing from young athletes. See page 40. As some of the sports world's elder statesmen ceded their dominance to a new generation. In men's tennis, for instance, the vaunted trio of Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, and Rafael Nadal failed to win a single Grand Slam title for the first time since 2002. That's 3 years before Bedard was born, and he spent much of his short life preparing for the situation he now finds himself in. I have a picture of Bedard here on page 36 and 37. Screen time. Bedard's first 2 NHL games set regular season viewership records for ESPN and TNT. I have high expectations for myself, so I'm never really surprised, says Bedard. New order. Bedard grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, in a typical sleepy neighborhood. There was no giant backyard with a frozen pond. So if young Connor wanted to work on his game, and he did all the time, he had to figure out a way to do it around the house. He spent countless hours outdoors, firing shot after shot at a net. The repetitive bang, bang, bang led some neighbors to think there was a construction project taking place. When it came time to work on his footwork, Connor would rely on inline skates. He tore through his family's house at full speed, improving his agility while breaking plenty of vases and other objects. But the most significant thing Bedard broke when he was a kid was his right wrist. When he was 13, he banged the boards awkwardly. Doctors told him that the fracture was near a growth plate, which meant that if he re-injured it, he would risk permanent damage. So Connor spent 3 months living left-handed. He shot one-handed and did pucks handling exclusively with his offhand. When his cast finally came off, Connor found that his left hand was the source of incredible strength, which gave his already strong wrist shot even more power. That's helped Bedard immensely in the NHL. He's able to fire off blazing shots from incredibly tight openings. Tim Turk is a shooting and skills coach who first worked with Bedard 4 years ago. When the puck gets in close like that, it creates all these different types of deceptions because the hands are so tight or in front of the body, Turk says. Bedard worked on his shot and his skating for hours on end. When his family went on vacation to Hawaii, Connor insisted on bringing his inline skates and sticks. Workers at the airport swore they had never seen so much hockey gear being taken to a balmy Hawaii. Bedard's work ethic was instilled in him by his parents, Melanie and Tom. His dad was a logger, which can be a grueling job. It's really, really impressive what he did every day to provide for us, says Bedard. And just seeing that, growing up with Dad, and it was unreal. It also helps that Bedard has always loved every aspect of hockey. Those hours spent shooting and skating might have seemed like work to some people, but he's never seen it that way. If you enjoy what you're doing, it's easier to work hard, to get better, to make it to the next level, he says. If you're not enjoying it, you kind of force yourself to be there, and you're probably not going to give it as much as you can't. So, I think the biggest thing is just have fun, enjoy it, whatever level you're at. For Bedard, that's the highest level. Ever since the Blackhawks won the 2023 draft lottery and the right to pick him, he has been the face of the franchise. In the first 90 minutes after Chicago won the lottery, the team sold $2.5 million worth of season tickets. Seeing a kid come in and be so good so soon might turn off some veteran players, but Bedard's teammates have embraced him. Maybe they tease a little bit, but they teach me how to handle myself, and that's super helpful. Being 19 means Bedard can blend into the scene in Chicago. If he slips on some shades, he can usually move around the city without being recognized. It's pretty chill, he says. I might not stay that way if Bedard can deliver the city its first Stanley Cup since 2015, but he's got plenty of time. That's the case when you're a superstar before you hit 20. And some captions under the pictures here on page 37. Ice, baby. Bedard would have been the youngest NHL All-Star ever, but he had to back out with a jaw injury. Continuing with New Order. Arisa True, age 14. Back in 1999, when he was 31 years old, Tony Hawk became the first skateboarder to land a 900, 2.5 rotations in competition. The first female to land the trick did it so in 2024. She was all of 14. Arisa True is no stranger to Hawk. A year earlier, the GOAT had been present when she became the first to land a 720 in competition. Arisa's 2024 also included gold medals at the Olympics, in park skateboarding, and at the World Championships in Vert. Her Olympic triumph brought her more than just a medal. Her parents promised to buy her a pet duck if she won. Quack! New blood, new rules. Like Connor Bedard, these groundbreaking teens are set to dominate for years to come. Lamine Yamal, age 17. Last December, Lamine Yamal missed out on attending a prestigious soccer awards ceremony because he had school. That's what happens when you're 16. Luckily for Yamal and for Spain, the 2024 European Championship took place in the summer. Yamal's debut in the tournament came 28 days before his 17th birthday, making him the youngest player in the event's history. He provided an assist in a win over Croatia and then became the youngest goal scorer with a stunning strike in a 2-1 win against France in the semifinals. After Spain beat England to win the Euros, Yamal, who played for Barcelona, was named Young Player of the Tournament. He finished with a goal and 4 assists. Ryan Williams, 17. After being named Mr. Football in Alabama twice, it was pretty clear that Ryan Williams had done about all there was to do in high school. So he reclassified and enrolled early in Alabama. Taking the field in the Crimson Tide season opener at just 17, it didn't take long for him to justify his decision to speed up his college journey. In his third game, he had just 2 catches, but they were both touchdowns and went for a combined 139 yards. Max Whittam, age 14. McKenna Whittam had a pretty good week at the end of July. She signed her first professional contract with New Jersey, New York, Gotham, FC of the NWSL. She also made her debut with the club. In between, she turned 14. Kenna's appearance made her the youngest player to play for a top-flight pro team in the United States. Kevin Sullivan, 15, of Philadelphia Union, had set the record less than 2 weeks earlier. Whittam, who's known as Mac, impressed her teammates in a 1-0 win over the Washington Spirit in the Summer Cup. "I remember when I was 14 years old," goalkeeper Cassie Miller told The Athletic. "And to be able to do this, kudos to her, because I definitely wasn't ready." Quincy Wilson, age 16. "They say that records are made to be broken, but sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Consider the national high school mark for the 400 meters. Dale Robinson set it in 1982, and it stood for 42 years. The runner who broke it was a 16-year-old Quincy Wilson, who had been lowering his times all year long. Still, he couldn't help but be excited, especially given that his performance came at the Olympic trials. 'All I'm doing is heart,' Wilson said. Most 16-year-olds would get scared when it comes to the big competitors. 'So I'm running for my life out there.' The run earned Wilson a trip to Paris, where he became the youngest gold medalist in United States track in history for his performance in the relay. And why not end with what's the call? Number two, Mask Man. In a baseball game under Major League Baseball rules, the Sandytown Slugs have a runner on first. With a count 2-1, hitter Chancey Gooms swings at a pitch and misses. The Hilltoppers catcher also misses the ball, and it lodges in his mask. What happens next? When the ball gets lodged in the catcher's mask, it's an immediate dead ball, and each runner moves up a base. So the Chauncey resumes his bat with a count of 2-2 and a runner on second base. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.